Thy saints shall flourish like the lily, O Lord, and be as the odor of balsam before thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What's going on today? During this long vigil, which ushers in the Feast of Pentecost, the culmination of Easter, the unseen God, our Creator and Savior, is seen all about us, yes, even in the dark this morning, in sign and in symbol. He is seen, as we read in the Old Testament prophecies, first of all today, to act as of old in our midst. As much by the symbolical dark, the lights come on at the Gloria to stand for the descent of the Holy Ghost tomorrow at Pentecost, that great ball of fire that lit up the upper room of the Last Supper, and the bells that sound as of a mighty wind coming. Mother Nature contributes her part to the symbolism. This year, today started rainy and cold and wet, and yet you saw how when we got to the font, well, then the sun came out for the first time, and by the time everything is finished, it will be all toasty warm and cozy here in church. That's the warmth of God the Holy Ghost. God is acting today to claim our children. He gave them to us, after all, and to consecrate our souls to him through his mother in a particular way. God is acting to set us free. You know the traditional explanation for the little tap on the cheek? We went over it, the children and I did, on Thursday at our recollection. The bishop at the conclusion of each confirmation slaps each child on the cheek a little bit. That's said to represent to be ready to suffer for Christ. And then there are some who say, well, that was part of the ceremony of knighthood. And these are, after all, knights and ladies of Jesus Christ, soldiers in the army of our King. But there's another meaning, too. It's a symbol, it was used in the old days, they say, of emancipation. Emancipation from slavery, that our Lord sets us free from the slavery of Satan, represented by the slavery of God's people in Egypt so long ago. But it also stands for emancipation, as you might use it today as a legal term. That is to say, when a child sues to the court to receive freedom from his parents so that he should be, in the eyes of the law, legally free, emancipated. Well, children, you will still be under your parents and priests and tutors and teachers, but in the eyes of God, you will be emancipated. That is to say, all grown up, adult and perfect Christians, even though some of you were only baptized, it seems, a few years ago. Today, the three persons of the Blessed Trinity act together, as they always do, in concert for our happiness. That means the making of us holy. The Father, in baptism, that fortunate little pontifical baby today, why, he was adopted by God the Father with all possible solemnity. And the Son, at communion today, will give himself to us in the Holy Eucharist. And the Holy Ghost gives himself to us in confirmation. And that but once, as with baptism, for it imparts a character on our soul. And when the Holy Ghost comes and gives himself, with himself he gives as well his gifts and his graces. The same as first he gave to the apostles, the first Pentecost. So the sacramental signs, all of these ceremonies, all symbolize and show forth what is happening today. You know that each sacrament has a little ceremony to it, and there are two for confirmation. That's called the matter, remote matter, and the theologians say the proximate matter. The remote matter is the holy chrism, which is a mixture of olive oil and of balsam, blessed on Holy Thursday by the bishop, consecrated in effect, they say, to contain the Holy Ghost. And that's applied in the sign of the cross on the most prominent part of our face, which is our forehead. The bishop, at the same time, as he makes the sign of the cross with his thumb in the holy, from the holy oil, puts his hand upon the head, which is the proximate matter. The Council of Trent says this is indeed a very fitting matter for this sacrament, because what does oil do? Oil flows. So it stands for an abundance or a fullness of grace. Oil, the Old Testament says, flows down from the head. Well, the head is Christ. And this oil of God's grace flows down in abundance upon us. Oil. Well, think of the meaning. Transportation. Light. Medicine. Balm. Soothing. Oil. Food. And oil, precious. Nigeria is in a mess today because the oil prices of the world have gone down. Venezuela, the same thing. The Saudis even are scrambling as to what they're going to do next if the oil prices don't rise again. Oil is indeed a precious commodity. But so is the other part of the chrism. It's called balsam. It's rare and exotic. It comes from troubled lands in Africa, Somalia, and Ethiopia sometimes. When the chrism is blessed, the balsam, which is heavier than the oil, falls to the bottom of the liquid. And that stands for humility. It comes from these African trees, and it flows like sap in New England for the making of syrup. That is to say, the bark is cut, and it flows slowly. The church calls this the tear of the dry bark. And then it tends on its own, balsam does, to solidify. And so sometimes you have to warm it up. But when it's warmed up, it just needs a little heat to do it. It gives off a wonderful fragrance. That's the warmth of charity. That's the symbolism there. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Now, balsam is also used traditionally as a preservative against corruption. You can figure out the symbolism there, I am sure. Confirmation preserves us from the corruption of sin. Balsam is blessed then and mixed with the holy oil, into which it sinks Christian modesty, or hiddenness is symbolized here. But oil always floats to the surface. I don't know if you could see it today, but when I blessed the font, at the very end I poured in the holy oil of the catechumens and then the holy chrism, three times in the form of a cross, and then I took off my ring and with my hand, I tried to spread the oil all around the water in the font. But of course, it doesn't want to spread. Oil always wants to go to the top. That stands for you and me rising above the temptations, the sins, the problems of life. How? By leading the life which is from above. A supernatural life, a life based on faith, fueled, oiled, if you will, by our Catholic faith, to rise above all of life's vexations and troubles. How can you do it? Fortitude? Yes, we think especially of spiritual bravery, fortitude, on Confirmation Day, one of the seven gifts. But Fortitude is a courage which is brave or confident enough to show itself in meekness. And this, alas, we erstwhile soldiers of Christ do sometimes forget. That means meekness, a kind of a modest self-possession, heavenly good manners, if you will, which does not come easily to us, but with meekness we don't give way easily to anger, even when we're provoked. Balsam, with its fragrant odor, I tell the children about a sacrament, you adults remember this, outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. So we go through the sacraments and the signs, and that's always something seen or heard or tasted or felt or touched, the signs of the senses. But I tell them at confirmation, as you come up to the altar, see if you can smell the balsam. That's the Holy Ghost who is present there. Others should be able to pick up, too, on our virtue, but it has to be something for it to work, subtle, discreet, not like somebody who steps into an elevator wearing a killer perfume or some teen with one of those deadly body sprays. No, no, nothing that's going to knock you over. That's the point. You don't want to knock them over. You want to help them to stand up. And to do so, you have to be discreet. It's attractive, it's present, but it's almost beneath the surface. This is how the Holy Ghost heals and preserves and helps even those who are not confirmed or who do not have the true faith. By means of you, others too are kept from corruption. And it makes, this virtue does, the balsam of confirmation. It makes others wonder, what is that? What is that? On Easter week, the altar was, of course, covered with lilies. And when it got warm in church, when I'd come into church to work or pray, I'd smell the balsam. And I was wondering to myself unconsciously, well, where does this balsam come from? There are no confirmations this week. Father McGuire burns last year's holy oils in a little lamp on Our Lady's altar, but usually he wasn't burning when I was in church. And then I realized it's actually one of the flowers on the altar. It's one of the lilies, one of the big ones. We call them the dinner plate lilies because when they open up all the way, they're very big and very white. And those lilies smell just like biblical balsam during the confirmation. In the masses of martyrs for Easter time, we pray, thy saints shall flourish like the lily, O Lord, and be as the odor of balsam before thee. I had never thought about that before. Imagine, biblical flowers still today. And why not? Ours is the same biblical faith today as of old. And the lily, Shushana in the Hebrew, the word means innocence. It's a symbol of the purity of our Blessed Mother. It is a symbol of the Incarnation. The angel Gabriel holds it for the Annunciation. He comes bearing flowers to ask Our Lady's assent. And then it's the Easter flower too, isn't it? Fragrant like the balsam, which modestly sinks to the bottom of our holy chrism in order to anoint us to be Christ-like. It takes the last place, and that takes some strength. But given just a little love, a bit of that warmth of the Holy Ghost, it fills the air with its subtle and refreshing fragrance. It banishes corruption. It preserves innocence. What a symbol in this sacrament today. What a reality today. Confirmation. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.